Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hashtag no music, hashtag no intro, hashtag no sources, hashtag just vibes. It's been a day. It's been a day for me, Ryan, just getting one right. We finally we didn't get big timed by Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, NFL Network. He made time for us tonight. We got the big dog the week that the season starts. Like, I feel like we kind of made it a little bit. Like, he made time for us. And the same day that Greg makes time for us, I get a prediction right saying that the Saints should call the Houston Texans about Bradley Roby when a report came out that the Texans were open to training everyone. You know, just put some tweets out there, just, you know, putting two and two together. And sure enough, today the Saints, this morning, reported by Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, that the Saints traded for Bradley Roby. Week one, Green Bay and Jacksonville. NFL season starts tomorrow. Bucks, Cowboys. Me and Greg saw each other. What was it, like a month and I don't know how long ago it was, but we were at the beach with our families. I remember telling Greg, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I wasn't feeling it. Like, I think it was right before preseason started, and I was like, not there yet. Are you there yet? Like, are you ready for football? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're ready; it's coming. But like, are you ready for the season to start?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I'm also ready to respond to your big timing accusations, but we can put a pin in that and put that in later in the show. I know you want to, you know, get to the news, get to the Bradley Roby of it all, like get the people in on this podcast first, and then we'll get to the person.
Oh no, the people will understand. We can address this now, right? Let's address this now, okay? So I'll tell your truth, Greg, and then I will tell my truth in regards to this big timing accusation. Let's talk about it.
I mean, there was no big timing. I forgot for sure. I didn't get a text from you. I didn't get a text from you for 36 hours before. I was just, you know, doom scrolling through the floods in New York, watching some tennis while you guys were podcasting. I just didn't remember. Like, you know, you run into podcasts here, you want to get, you know, you want to get the big time guests. You're saying, like, just shoot me a text. All I needed was a text. One text at any point during the whole day. Didn't need to be near the thing. Didn't need to be anything. And then I've been like, oh yeah, got that tonight. So that's on you. That's on you.
Okay. This is a great segue into a tweet that Ryan had this week about how he would just detest being in the dating game, you know, in 2021, right? So the way I saw it is, like, the day we recorded, I texted you the day before, and I just sent you the confirm, boom, 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 this date, this time, boom, good. And then you didn't say, you didn't reply the next day. So like, I am, you know, if I'm using a dating app and I don't hear from someone and we can confirm plans the day before, I'm not going to be blowing you up like, oh, hey, babe, are we still going on this date? Like, or like,
I mean, you don't need to get in your feelings about it. We're not going on a date. I'm just coming on your podcast. You know, sometimes you see a text, you're in the middle of something, and then you kind of forget about it. And, you know, that's what happened.
There probably was that fear where Adam would send another like reminder text, like, hey, we're on in 2 hours. And then you really ignore him. And then it's like, damn.
No,
that's like, what I'm saying.
Not like, even put myself out there like that.
You know, meanwhile, like my kids and my wife is like closing my door because I'm screaming and yelling right about when they're time to go to bed. No, I don't accept any of this. I mean, we just went to the beach. You were talking about like, how am I going to big time you for a podcast when we're going to the beach?
I'm fucking with you, Greg. So I listened to your, I was actually finishing up your guys' sandwich bet props around the NFL podcast, a fixture in the NFL community and the NFL.
Go get my lunch, bitch.
No, we can say that here. We can say that. we can lean into it. I know, you know, y'all can't anymore, but we can keep it rich. Like Ryan just lit up right now. I just heard it.
I love it.
So I was listening to that, you know, listening to that podcast and everything, and it just kind of struck me like, fuck, like football is back. Like it's here.
Yeah, no, I'm all in. This weekend was rough. We all have had different personal things. Your guys may more serious, but we've all had some rough times lately. And so that was a little setback, but knowing like the game was here by the time I was halfway through the preseason, I was in the zone. I'm going to try to throw myself more into it than ever. Cause like, it's a great distraction. And that's, I got into the whole business cause of the love of the game and just having a job where you have fun. And I still do have fun, and I have more fun the more I know, like the more I'm on my shit, then the more fun I'm having. So I'm all about it this year.
No, man. No, I was just reading you. I saw you dropped the first QB index. And, you know, you had a nice write up in the beginning talking about, you know, you and Wes, how he kind of took the QB index last year, and that was kind of his thing to keep himself going and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rankings, just looking at the rankings, I was like, damn, I can't argue with none of this shit. Like,
well, you, like, I know you're not arguing with Jameis being up so high. That was the most common.
I mean, Jameis at 19. I was like, okay. Like,
that was the most common response I got of overrating someone. People didn't like he was too high. Burrow was too low. And it was definitely the one that I knew Wes would be like. Wes would be like, please. But I would respond quickly. Please go look at this man who's been a starter in the league for 5 years and is now playing for one of the best offensive minds in the league. And just look at where he was at the end of those five seasons, average out where he was relative to other quarterbacks. He was right in the middle, and now he's in his prime in a better situation, healthy. He's got his LASIK. It's happening.
No, I love it. I love it. And 19 just made a bunch of sense. And I was real interested in Burrow though, because he pointed out something that's just been on my mind, like the whole, like since he played before he got hurt. I was like, damn, his arm looking weak. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was just, I don't know if it, like, people like kept blaming the offensive line. I was like, I don't know. The ball just is coming out. Like, and I like Burrow. I was like a big Burrow. I'm not an LSU fan, but I really liked, you know, his take, you know, from his 2019 season at LSU. But I was like, and now with the leg and the offensive line woes, it's like, ugh, like I just, you know, Chase not really looking right. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, I asked Adam like a week ago.
I was about to say it.
Could they really be picking number one overall again?
Ooh, wow.
I mean, somebody got to pick number one overall. And this is like, when you look at who, it's like, could the Bengals be back up there?
It's a sensitive subject, his arm strength, because sometimes you keep watching the games, and he played really well. You know, he's got instincts, but I don't think he played quite as well as as people think. And it was a lot of it because of the surrounding, because of the offensive line, because of everything. Yeah. But that the arm strength really stood out a lot. And it was like a touchy subject to bring up, but I have now heard it repeated enough by other people that I really trust that watch the game. And it was a thing. And so I always worry about torn ACL guys when they come back. It's not always, you know, just the mobility, which certainly matters, but it's like the accuracy, the timing, all that stuff can be messed up for a while. It messed up Tom Brady. Go watch the first half of the 2009 season. Might have been his worst play until 2019. That was it. That was probably his worst half a season he had, was coming off that torn ACL.
No, I mean, I worry about the Bengals. Just the vibe that everything came out against them, you know, from a team during training camp, preseason. Like, there are just some teams you just want to feel. You guys did an episode about it, like who you felt better about after the, in the preseason, whatever, than you maybe did or whatever. And like the Bengals were just one of those teams where I just like, I don't know.
But I feel better about the Saints because of you two guys, because I listened to the Saints. Hashtag, no music, no intro. Because I listened the last couple episodes. I was stealing some of your knowledge on, you know, the Bonnaissance. I don't know what we're calling it. The Zach
Bonfire. Hashtag Bonfire.
Oh, Bonfire. And a couple little other nuggets where it's like, okay, you go into camp thinking if a couple things go right, then this team has a chance. And I think those things have gone right for the Saints so far, including the Roby trade. That's something going right too.
Well, that's huge. Obviously he's going to miss week one, you know, finishing up a suspension. We don't even know what the compensation of the trade is. We don't know how Roby's going to even fit in the Saints salary cap. I don't know. Loomis will do his jiu-jitsu with the salary cap, and that'll be that. But I think that takes away, it's going to take away such a pressing question of now the Saints don't have to rely on, is Ken Crawley going to be good Ken Crawley or bad Ken Crawley? Are we going to have to worry about putting a third round pick rookie cornerback starting in the NFL? And it gives them more depth, and it kind of aligns everything more in order, especially defensively. And Sean Payton has been saying all offseason cornerback is a must after they cut Jack Rabbit, and Ryan and I have talked about, like, it just didn't make sense, like why he was cut. And it seems like they were just kind of scrambling, like swiping right on everyone the last couple of days, like, oh, can we get him? Can we get him? Can we get him? And you know, they met a match with Houston, were able to get Bradley Roby. So we were texting about this earlier in terms of what we feel of him as a player. Albeit streaky, he has shown at times to be a very good cornerback, and now he's coming to a situation kind of like in Denver where he doesn't have to be cornerback one. He can be quarterback two and not go against like the elite wide receivers every week.
Yeah, I'm not just kissing up to you guys, but I've always been a big Bradley Roby fan. I mean, he was awesome at times in Denver, but he was good last year in Houston. He was their best corner.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I watched very little Texans last year. I was just wondering, like, what was his role there with the Texans? And, you know, why are they getting rid of him?
Well, it's a new staff. You know, he is a guy that now a couple staffs have, you know, gotten rid of. You know, Denver wasn't incredibly eager to keep him, which was surprising to me. So that, you know, that raises some eyebrows. Mm-hmm. But he's a physical guy. I mean, like, PFF always loves him. He always has good numbers in terms of, like, forcing incompletions. I just think he's like a solid number two NFL starting cornerback, can play inside, can play out. I kind of put him in the same ballpark of Jackrabbit. They're not the same type of players, but like he's like a better than average starter. Like he's a good number two. That, I mean, and that's hard to find. So I don't know what the deal was that, you know, that he was not a guy, I guess they thought they were going to re-sign or bring back next year, but it seems perfect. Wouldn't surprise me if the pick is a little higher than you think. What is your guess?
No, I was thinking like at least a third.
Okay, yeah, that's higher than I would think. But yeah, that sounds about right. Then if they're offering a third, Houston's taking that.
At one point, the Saints are desperate. They've been desperate to – they're willing to trade from like 27 or whatever to like top 10 to draft like a corner in the draft. So like them giving up a third wouldn't shock me at all. Like not in the least bit.
And you could kind of read the tea leaves and tell this has been something they've been working on for a while. I mean, as soon as the news came out, Nick Underhill had like a breakdown of Bradley Roby like 3 seconds after Ian dropped the tweet. So it's like you could tell like this is something that's been, you know, in the organization for a while. Like people have known this is something that's been working on. So it's like, okay, so it wouldn't surprise me if they had, you know, especially I know the Saints, like Saints always pay high. Like they're never that, you know, smart team that just swindles another team. No, they overpay. They never have no problem.
That's the only way you get them a couple days before the opener, unless the guy's bad. Bradley Roby's good. Most guys getting traded at this time of year are bad, but he's good.
right. Yeah, and I don't mind it. Like, third round, you spent a third round pick for, you know, Paulson and Debo. So, you know, if you could spend a third for Bradley Roby that's 29 years old, you know, that's
okay. He's got an $11 million cap number next year, too. So it could be two years.
Yeah,
you know, the Texans are all about just getting the players that they wanted to get. And so that this was not a guy that they brought in. So, dang, now I'm starting to feel the Saints a little bit.
Don't let him do that to you, Greg. Don't let him.
Wait. Can I throw a theory by you guys? Actually, that's related to Roby.
Yeah.
This is some devious stuff. So you're talking about, you know, this Roby thing was cooking for a while. You know, do you think Sean Payton knew the only money they could scrounge up at this point of the offseason was Murray? And he knew that like 3 weeks ago. And he almost started just like burying the. I mean, maybe he really did look poor in everything in camp and everything, but he started like laying the public groundwork because he knew he might need to get rid of this dude.
That's a good theory because like early in camp, we were hearing grumblings about Latavius Murray. Like he wasn't getting any snaps in camp. And, you know, we were like, oh, well, maybe it's just kind of veteran day off type of thing, just giving him a break. Then it just started getting weirder and weirder. And then came the first preseason game.
Bro, I said it on the pod, Ryan. I said, are we sure he makes the team? He just looked so bad, like just bad.
I meant to put that in my potential cuts column. I might have forgotten. I don't even remember at this point, but I threw that out somewhere and it was basically from listening to you guys and it made some sense. Now guys do show up and they're not quite the same guy that you last saw. Like that happens, but you know, this is my devious conspiracy theory because ultimately the Saints did them a little dirty. And so then it's like, Peyton's trying to not look like he's doing them as dirty as maybe they did him.
yeah, I could see it, you know, but you know, hey, I mean, what are you going to do?
That's business.
They could have let him go early though, you know, but they rolling with the younger Tony Jones Jr.
Tony Jones Jr.
It's like, that's who it is. I still feel like they should bring someone in. I don't know, but you know, they don't have to, it's just running backs, you know, so.
They might after week one, you know. Heck, yeah. if Murray can't get a job, I don't know how proud he's going to be about it. But no, for real, he might come back. The Pats pull off that stuff all the time. They get their veterans come back, and they're like, "All right, sir, where do we sign? We're back." Yeah. You know, they got it about Duval do this stuff.
I mean,
go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was just saying, it's something about taking a pay cut. You know, it's just like. No, I'm not going to do it. I'd rather, you know, stay home or go somewhere else.
That's what you would think. But that's what I mean with the Patriots. They would find these guys that would be like, all right, sir. Like, I just won the Super Bowl, but like, give me a 300% pay cut and I'm going to show up and get rocked over the middle and win you a Super Bowl. I'm like Danny Amendola. It's like, give me that. Like, those guys, man, they had a handful of those guys that would just keep coming back for more.
One of my favorite tropes, I mean, it's true that you're running with now is just, you know, Boston, New England, the whole Cam situation, Mac Jones, like the home of Alt Breer, you know, what? Just.
What does this have to do with anything though?
You yourself were like running, like you put it in the slogan on the slogan episode, like. I will say this. I appreciate you as a friend and as a person who works in the media that is able to speak the truth and not like be like, no, like, you know, New England, like you tell it like that's how it should be, right? Like, that's why when the whole Alt Breer had, you know, was like, oh, like I've never have seen anything remotely close to racism in the Boston area. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, so I'm just saying, like, for you to like own it and just even when Matt Jones walked on the field in preseason and the Pats fans were cheering like extra hyped, like you were just like, yeah. Oh god, I hate it right now.
The Cam hate was over the top. The radio stations there are over the top. I've had these arguments with my dad, so I certainly don't mind having it on the podcast. But yeah, they nipped that one in the bud, you know. They didn't have to worry about it becoming a thing anymore because they did it before it even started. That surprised me, but I should never be surprised with Belichick.
And people are going to think what they want to think at the end of the day. But, you know, I mean, look, when Mac Jones got drafted, it was just like, man, it was on, that clock was ticking, bro. And then when Cam did whatever he did and, you know, missed those five practices because of COVID, that was it, bro. Like, I'm not saying that's what, you know, caused it to happen. But, like, when I saw that, I was just like, that's a wrap. Like, Mac Jones about to scoop that fumble up and roll to the end zone, man. Like,
I mean, I've loved Cam's whole career, and I was really hoping, like, it would have been the perfect Patriots season for me if they went 12-5 with Cam Newton. I was saying that all offseason because that somehow would annoy all the Patriots fans that annoy me, mm-hmm. and my team would be winning. It'd be perfect. You know, it'd be like, you know, it'd correct. Be. And I just like mobile quarterbacks, you know. Yeah. Adam gets on me for it, but I've always wanted to watch my team with a mobile quarterback, and so I had so many mixed feelings about Mac Jones. But then you read what happened in the preseason from people I trust, and then in the camp, and then you watch the preseason, and by the end of it, then they can do whatever they want with Cam. Mac Jones looked too damn good. He balled out. Cam didn't do anything wrong, but my God, Mac Jones looked awfully good. You can't mess around. If it's even, you go with the rookie. And I don't think it was even. Mac Jones was better.
Yeah, and it's so funny because when Mac Jones was announced the starter and Cam was released, like me, Ryan, and I had to go like re-up the Mac Jones episode we did when he was like slotted to go to the Saints at the end of round one. And if you just went back and just watched him at Alabama, he's just such an easy evaluation as a player that like it just makes sense. Like none of his success, how good he looks is not a surprise to us, like at all. He just fits. He just
I think fits. It's a surprise. It's a surprise to the Panthers. They got Sam Darnold back there. Yeah. Week one.
Oh man!
I mean, that's a great talking point of the whole sliding doors of the three teams that passed on Justin Fields: Carolina, Denver, and to a lesser degree, maybe Philadelphia. Like, that decision of them passing on Justin Fields may be like another one of these situations of like the Bears and San Francisco passing on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, the football player. Like, do you feel like there's, I won't say pressure, but like when you pass on a quarterback that's slotted to go that high, and if that quarterback goes and just succeeds and balls out, like that's such egg on your face, like as an organization.
Well, that's a problem. I mean, Surtain and Horn, the cornerbacks, they're probably going to be good players, especially Surtain. I feel good about, but it doesn't matter how good they are if those two ball out, especially Fields. Fields felt like the obvious pick. But if you're Carolina, who was kind of attached to Mac Jones, and people thought maybe that would be where he goes early on, before you even heard the 49ers stuff, you heard all this stuff, there's Senior Bowl. If you passed on two guys, and you got Sam Darnold back there, and he's like the 28th, 29th best starting quarterback in the league again this year, That's bad. You didn't just miss once, you missed twice.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, I keep hearing about, you know, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, like he's a hedge fund guy and all this shit. It's like, what are y'all doing? It's like, these are multi-billion dollar organizations. And look, getting a great quarterback is hard.
It's hard. Difficult.
So fucking hard, man. Like, but it's like, to miss on, like, just to pass him up and not even, like, pull a ticket, that's what gets me, man. Like, that's what drives me.
They gave Darnold all this money, too. I mean, if they're right about Darnold, then we're way premature. And, you know, overall, it's like a good value. I just have no – I have zero faith.
I mean, I was the biggest Darnold fan when he came out as a prospect. And, I don't know.
I mean, because as much as Matt Rhule, I think, did some good things last year, and they have some positive things defensively, and I think they're schemed up pretty good. Ultimately, he went out of his way to give Teddy 2 years and had to eat the second year, and then made that mistake. That's eaten up, you know, $10 million in dead cap to get rid of Teddy that you didn't need to. I don't think anyone else was giving him 2 guaranteed years. That was just like, hey, we want to show we believe in him. And they basically did the – after making that mistake, did the exact same contract with Darnold with a little extra thrown in.
Which is crazy to me. I mean, you could have just, like, I don't know, built around Teddy.
Darnold had more of a Darnold had more of a market, I'm guessing, where they had to go a little higher. But even with that, they only did it because they thought they had Stafford and they didn't get it. There's a lot of sliding doors. I mean, they were offering a first.
That's right.
A first and a third. A first and a third for Stafford. They thought that might get it done, or that it was gonna get it done. It didn't get it done.
I forgot about that Stafford thing. That would have been interesting. Shit.
You guys are lucky. Because now you guys look like the second best team again.
We'll see. You know, we'll see, man. Like, I feel much different. Like, if you listen to our first podcast before the preseason, and, you know, we were not high on the Saints. Like, it was like, and I still have some questions. But, you know, they've answered the two biggest questions I had. Really, the three is, you know, Jameis, how does he look? The linebacker depth outside of Demario Davis and the cornerback position. So they answered those three questions, but still that wide receiver thing is bugging me, man. It's like,
hey, Ryan, Traquan practiced today, buddy.
Okay. He practiced. Okay. Great.
Like, that every team's got like one big problem.
That's a good
spot if you're a Saints. The Saints have just proven over the years, and I know Peyton's counting on this, and he's pushing it too far now, but they've proven over the years they can find production in surprising places.
Exactly. And you know, it's probably one of my pet peeves, because that shit just annoys me so much, because I know the Saints passing game is going to be fine this year. It's going to be fine. And all that will do is justify Sean Payton's arrogance to where, like, see,
it's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah. It's like, I'm a top eight offense. We didn't need to go out and draft smoky.
I mean, if they're a top eight offense, then you guys can't be complaining about anything. If Jameis Winston's leading the top eight offense,
eight is not one. I'm saying, why not try to be number one? Why not go all out and just try? Go get Smokey Brown. I just try to be better than you are. That's what drives me. But maybe it's because I'm a fan. I don't know the business. You know, it is what it is. But this is one of the things that just annoys the shit out of me, especially with the passing game. Because Sean Payton knows he can't create a lot, you know, and he's a smart motherfucker, like he is. But it's like, come on, man. Like, did you watch the Saints offense last year? And I know Drew Brees' arm was dead. I know. His arm was dead. I get it. But, like, that doesn't mean anything when your wide receivers aren't getting separation. You know what I'm saying?
And it's been a problem for, you know, last couple of years. Big game to start week one in Jacksonville against the Packers. I know you guys do your Thursday game, you know, show where you preview each of the game. I'm fascinated to see this game because I think at least week one, the Packers are going to try to exploit the Saints' biggest weakness, because Bradley Roby shouldn't be playing week one. So the Saints' biggest weakness would be whoever's lined up opposite of Marshawn Lattimore. Ken Crawley, Paulson Adebo. They don't really have a lot of options.
Desmond Trufant?
Sure. Oh, and then the Saints, with their depth at edge pass rushers, are going to try to go against a maligned, injured Green Bay offensive line to disrupt Aaron Rodgers. There's no David Bakhtiari, you know. So, you know, Billy Turner and Tavon Jenkins. It's going to be fascinating, just because that, to me, like, that's the game. Like, that is the game in summary to me, is whoever group wins those matchups is going to win the game.
I agree. I'm fascinated to see it. I wanted to hear I tried to get you to give me some help here. I do the game picks on our website now, and now we're like putting the spreads there. I do the show Game Day View with Cynthia Freeland and Andrew Hawkins on Fridays. It's basically like a picks show. And so I'm trying to figure out who am I taking. I settled in on Saints covering 4 but losing the game. So I'm like, you know, I'm splitting the baby there. I'm trying to thread the needle. But there's something about them this week in week 1 having something a little more to play for than just themselves, and that their offensive line's going to be good, and they're a veteran team too in the pack. You know, that I think they can keep it close. I just don't know exactly how they're going to do it, because I think if you look at all the matchups, it does favor the Packers. Packers could be a good team this year. I know the line, there are questions. There's maybe one starter back at the exact same spot, which is Lucas Patrick, probably, but their interior is bad. They have Jenkins at the left tackle, Elkton Jenkins and Turner, like you mentioned. Like, they got questions, but it's like Aaron Rodgers and the scheme make up for a lot of those questions. Yeah. And their defense, I always thought, was like underachieving. They have some players on their defense too. So I think if you just stack up the rosters, you know, the Packers are right there with the top 3 or 4 teams in the league. And that's a tough ask on a neutral field, which is sort of what I'm seeing in Jacksonville. So I kind of split the difference, said close game, but Saints don't quite get it done.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, even when you just look at all the matchups, but it's like Aaron Rodgers, he's just like such a touch of damn cheat code. It's like you can just see him just rolling out, shaking off a defender, and just doing something just stupid that just makes no sense, and just scores a touchdown. And it's like, how the hell did he do that? So it's hard to pick against Green Bay. I'm just, you know, I'm leaning towards the Saints, this because, like you said, I just feel like there's just a little something extra with him. And I just know how Sean Payton is. He's really, really, really good. And I know I could hear Patrick Claiborne right now talking about they're going to be extra motivated. You know, I can hear it. Like, I know, but I've seen it with my own eyes with this team. Yeah. Sean is really good at this, man. And he's really good at getting it out teams like that. So I could just see them playing with a little extra this year. I do think they will cover that 4.
And week 1 too. When I pointed out on Twitter that Saints win over the Panthers in 2005, man, that was a really memorable win up just as a fan, you know, watching them, rooting for them. And yeah, you mentioned like that was the only bright spot that season, which is fair, but it was that week 1, like that is playing in my mind a little bit too in this game.
Yeah. And you know, the players are really taking this thing to heart, like this whole hurricane and stuff like that.
You could tell. Listened to a couple of like the interviews, you know, at work, you know, when they're streaming on the, you know, the Saints Twitter website, and you could hear it. Like, I know that sounds, I don't know, like whatever, because it's like players are just going to talk, but like sometimes you could just tell like there's something extra this week. Like they're this place, they're playing on a neutral field, they're going against the Packers, who were in the NFC Championship game last year, beat the Saints last year in a game that maybe if Taysom doesn't fumble, maybe they win. Like, I don't know. Sean's going to be pulling all the strings and doing what he can to make sure that they're ready, without question.
And defensively, I don't know, man. I don't know how good the defense is going to be this year, but they have so much confidence this year. I've seen, you know, Malcolm Jenkins talked about it, because he's kind of taking on more of a kind of that veteran captain role. And it's like, he said exactly what I was thinking when I watched him during the preseason. It's like, they're just playing just fundamental good football. Like, just, it's not really even about the players. It's just like good form tackling, like paying attention to details and playing your assignments. It's just like good old defense. We'll see if it translates in a regular season. They typically start slow on defense. So, you know,
and offense. I'm
still, and offense, but really defense, like every year, it's just like even the good years, they started slow. So, we'll see.
You're starting to convince me. This pick, I haven't filed it yet. I'm thinking about changing it, listening to Ryan.
Don't listen to me, Greg.
Because I want to root for that. Now that Breeze is gone, I feel like I'm more ready to re-embrace the Saints again. Plus the city needs some good news, you know? City needs some good news.
Breeze had you like, nah.
Yeah, kind of. After a while, I was like, I've seen enough of this. Let's move it along.
it's the Fox's big game of the week. You know, we get Joey Buckets, got Troy.
You know, Troy gonna drop that shit. Troy gonna say something that's gonna be like, oh, and pro football talk gonna have to run in.
every time that Troy does a Saints game, he always has like a Sean Payton quote where it's like, oh shit, like he's like breaking news or something. Week one, what game are you most excited? Hey,
by the way, before we move on from the Saints, I just want to point out your boy Two First, who you like to mock. I never jumped off his corner. I'm still there. And you guys have been missing this man for years, and you need him this year. So you better hope those camp reports are right, and you better hope I'm coming back on this pod and honking about his 12 sacks in like week 14 or something.
Here's the thing, Greg. We, even in this two preseason games, he has looked, as he should, absolutely explosive and dominant against, you know, backup left tackles, backup interior linemen.
Okay.
Which is great. All we just need consistency. Show it in the regular season. You know, pressures, blah, blah, blah. Get to the quarterback. Like, that's it.
All right.
That's all we're saying.
I'm just saying, if he is their best defensive player or their second best defensive player this season, I just want like a personal apology to me.
Oh, you got it.
To you, and Ryan might do like a video apology to Two First himself.
Okay. Himself, because I know he's seen it. I know he's seen it.
100% has. Without question, yeah. But I was just going to ask you, it's week one. What game are you most excited about week one?
Ooh, I don't know if I've got a good answer for this. At the same time, usually I'm not such a big homer, but I really think the Patriots Dolphins would fascinate me in any scenario, because those two teams are new. They've added components. The rosters are much different. They always show, the Patriots always do some weird stuff in week one. Last year, they break out this Cam running attack. They ran, you know, they played hurry up and ran the whole game against Miami. Yeah, and it was like they did the best shortening the game strategy ever. And they're always doing different stuff. And I really respect Miami's coaching staff. I think these are both double digit win teams. And so week one, it just feels that's one that smells like a big game where I'm just curious to see Tua right now. I'm definitely curious to see Mac Jones. I'm curious to see Matt Judon and Christian Barmore and Josh Uche and all these dudes on New England. Defense. So that game to me is fascinating because I think both teams are really good.
Are you Ryan and I have been very how we kind of feel about Tua. Like, are you still in on Tua? I know we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, because I just thought the reasons he struggled his rookie year made sense to me for the type of player that he was. He was going to win with quick decisions, accuracy, his mind being a little
like Drew Brees,
right? Exactly, and that wasn't necessarily going to translate to balling out as a rookie. So he's looked good in the preseason. I think he'll be better this year.
Yeah, I hope so. I want to see him do good. I like Tua. I saw that you had Russell Wilson ranked, I think, number 6 on your QB index.
Yeah.
And you've been on this for a while, which I think is interesting because a lot of people just talk about his offensive line. But you point out how he played really bad down the stretch last season.
He did.
It was bad. Like, it was not the offensive line. He played terrible. especially for his, you know, because like the first like what 4 or 5 games, he was just looking like oof, MVP, like what? And I don't know what happened towards the end of the season. Nothing, I don't know, as far as I've heard, nothing came out about an injury or anything. He just did not look good.
Yeah, what were you gonna say? Sorry.
No, I was just saying, go ahead. Like I was just curious, like, you know, what do you think we see from him this year? Do you think that just was kind of like a, you know, just a bad stretch that QBs have, like pretty much all QBs have, this is a little stretch, it's not good, or was it something else? Was it the OC, Brian Schottenheimer, or whatever?
I think it was probably just a blip. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't usually been like a top three type of guy where he's balling out, game in, game out, 16 straight weeks. That's kind of what's kept him, you know, look, he's a surefire Hall of Famer, but that's kind of what's kept him in the, you know, the 3-6 range instead of one, you know, getting those MVP votes. He didn't deserve any MVP votes if you go through each one of those seasons. That's okay. Like, he's a top 5 quarterback. So he was playing a little over his skis. Mina Kimes had a great point about this, so I'm just going to give her the credit, but I think it was totally right that he had those two big interception games where just things fell apart against Buffalo. Like they were just going bombs away, and it was against Buffalo and against Arizona where he turned the ball over like, I don't know, 9 times or something. And he was a little spooked after that. And they just didn't make sense with him being spooked. You know, he was like holding the ball. So he was still making some mistakes, but the big plays weren't there. He always holds the ball. That's his style. Yeah. It was like he lost the equilibrium of how long you could do that. He was just holding and taking sacks. I don't think it'll keep up though. He'll be fine. I'm not really worried. It's a different offense, so maybe it takes a minute, but it probably is an upgrade from Schottenheimer. You know, the guys I debated, you know, between him and Lamar and who was 4, I don't even remember, but like they're all in the same little bucket.
You brought up this deep conspiracy theory that you had about, you know, Murray potentially before the Bradley Roby trade. So I started developing this deep conspiracy theory when I heard Dan on the podcast talking about the stretch of games that the Colts have to start the season, like their first 6 or 7 games, just this hellacious slate of teams that they go against. And so my theory started going, hypothetically, if the Colts are 1-5 in those first 6 games, what have you, like, do they try to do the opposite, like, thing of tanking where they, like, either sit Carson Wentz? Because they have to keep in mind, like, they owe the Eagles like a first round pick depending on how many games Carson Wentz plays and all that. So if they're looking like they have a top 3 pick in the first round, could they do some like some shady stuff to make sure that they keep that pick?
Ooh,
I like that.
Like I didn't think about it until Dan started talking about their schedule, and like those teams, like they're like 6 like really good teams. And I was like, yo, if they are starting 1-5, like as a team, if they, you know, because right now it's a second, I believe, that turns into a first based on like whatever the criteria is. And I just thought
it's 75% of the snaps. I had to check it while you were talking there. That's the nice thing of being on, not on video. Plus I don't, you know, plus I don't have to look at you guys. You don't have to look at me. It's all good. So I don't think that look, they need to find out if Carson Wentz is their future quarterback. So I think that he would have a pretty long leash, but I think that's a question. If you extend that to like 3-7 and it's week 12, you know, once it starts getting a little bit later, because it's, if 75% is the threshold, that's the end of the season. Yeah, that's a thought for first to second. I could see them doing that. They definitely, you know, we're happy to be, you know, trying out Curtis Painter and all these guys to get Andrew Luck back in the day. I mean, they're just like flipping quarterbacks in week 15 and 16. You remember that?
I remember the Saints game they played against the Colts in Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. Just a bloodbath.
It was like I got to check who the starters were, but it was like, man, our backup has got to be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Let's check out our third stringer, who's even worse.
Curtis Mayfield, baby.
I don't know why I thought that, but when Dan went through the teams, like it was like they have to be mindful of this.
But then, I mean,
they think they're good though. They think they're good, and people I like around them think they're good, like Stephen Holder, The Athletic, and stuff. Like,
yeah.
They are kind of a greater sum, you know, than the sum of their parts type of team. They're a pretty, you know, so that they did almost beat Buffalo with Philip, you know, Philip Rivers there.
They should have.
You got to give them a little bit of credit, but I'm very down on them because I'm very down on Carson Wentz just generally, especially an injured Carson Wentz. I'm definitely not into. Wait, what's the week one game? You asked me that. I wanted to hear your guys' answer. Another week one game you want to see.
Oh, I know me. I'm kind of interested in the Browns Chiefs, right? They play the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to watch it because I think it's on right during the Saints game. But I'll have the the red zone going because I don't know. Like that game was fun as hell. The playoff game they had last year.
I know, it was so much low score. I checked that game out to look at and try to remember it, and I forgot that it was 22-17. That it was a low scoring game.
That's only what I could have sworn it was a high scoring game. Mm-hmm. But I just remember enjoying the game for some reason. Maybe it was just
a good game. They had their chances.
Yeah, they did, man. I just want to see that. I'm not like a Browns fan, but obviously there's a lot of us that kind of just, you know, there's a part of us that kind of root for them. You know, I know Adam, he doesn't like Baker Mayfield. I don't love him either, but I just kind of want to see the Browns do just, you know, be like a good team. And I don't see any reason why they can't be a good team now. Like, just from a player standpoint.
He just has a very off-putting, annoying-ass personality. That's all.
He does. I can't lie.
I've heard from someone that's known him throughout, or like knows the Browns and stuff throughout the process, that they think he's gotten a lot better. That there's
he's grown.
Mm-hmm. That there was a lot of douchiness.
Yeah.
Like early on, it was like that might have been tell. Rubbing like that yeah. might have been rubbing his teammates the wrong way, this and that, and that
and that
it's turned, you know, and that I think the teammates and everyone else is feeling better in terms of him as like a guy and a leader.
And he got some major success really early in his career, like just being like kind of good for the Cleveland Browns. Like just imagine being in Cleveland and being like the savior. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. He wasn't Johnny Manziel or anything like passing out in the middle of meetings. So, I mean, it's all relative. He was like professional. He was professional and pretty good. It just, he was a little full of himself. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is going to the Hall. He's still that way. So, you know, you can still win that way. I got one for you. 10 a.m. How about Adam? I wanted to hear yours too, but now I'm thinking about you guys in the same game. And I got the Patriots game late. What's yours?
Mine's Washington football team.
Okay.
LA Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm curious about
that. Herbert against a defense that should be on paper one of the best in the NFL. Sign me up.
I'm curious for like the new coaches and the new, which of the Chargers are, and then the new situations like Fitzpatrick is, Herbert sort of in a new situation too with the different offense. Those are the games I love in week one. I'm with you. And I don't know. That was maybe the toughest game to pick. And I took the football team, but that was like the most coin flip game I could find.
No, I picked that up. Another one from your QB index. I see you kind of like I wouldn't even say on the fence with Joe Lombardi. You're not high on Joe Lombardi, which I completely understand.
I just want to see it. I love Herbert. I love Herbert. And man, I just don't want them to mess it up. And as someone who feels like they messed up Philip Rivers for the most part,
mm-hmm. Did you read that Athletic article? I don't know who wrote it. You probably know those guys better than me, but they were talking about how, Bruce Staley, is that his name? Bruce Staley, or is it Brian Staley?
Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Staley. How he basically he's known Lombardi for a while, and he was interested in how the Saints marry the offense to the quarterback and how, he wanted Joe to kind of do that with Justin Herbert, not just, because I remember when he was with the Lions, when Joe Lombardi was with the Lions, he basically just like took copy pasted like Sean's playbook and just said,
it was okay.
But it's like, no, it just didn't work.
Stafford isn't Drew Brees, you know?
He's not, period. Like, they further apart. So, but it sounded like, from the article, it's just an article, but it sounded like maybe he did learn that you need to adapt your offense to the, you know, and it seems like Brandon Staley, I mean, he seems like a smart guy. I don't know him. I liked his defense last year, but he seems like one of those defensive guys that's really interested in offense mm-hmm. and how offense functions and, you know, how – like, it seems like he understands that you got to win with offense, which is different from a lot of defensive coaches, head coaches that come in, you know, that are around the league. So I think he might get it. But we'll see. I don't know. But I'm interested.
Everything he says sounds smart as hell. He really does. I'm pretty sold on him. That's Mark Sessler's corner on our show. But I agree with Mark. And between him and Herbert, you're right. Yeah, the quote was like, you know, we don't want him to fit into the Chargers offense. This is just the Justin Herbert offense. Like, that's the mm-hmm. offense. He is the offense. That was the quote, I think, from the.
I love that. Like, if I'm a Chargers fan and I hear that, I'm like, yes. This makes sense. You get it now. You know what I'm saying?
The other 10 a.m. game, though, that I'm curious. I don't necessarily think it's going to be close. I might put I want to see the Titans Cardinals. I want to see Julio Jones on the Titans. And you got Jack Rabbit and Elijah Molden. Caleb Farley and these guys, and then you got the Cardinals. I don't know what the hell the Cardinals are gonna.
No one does.
They just got like J.J. Watt and A.J. Green out there, and they got these two linebackers. You know, Zaven Collins and Simmons are both like 6'8". Like, I can't take my eyes off them when I saw them in the preseason. So, awesome. I think the Titans might roll, and the Titans might be pretty good. But I kind of want that's the game. That's gonna be the game I take too early and watch at 10 a.m. I'm into.
No, that. I mean that sounds like a popcorn game.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray against the Titans defense. He's probably gonna be running around like that.
I just want to see Julio. I want to see Julio put up 6 for 135 and everyone be like, oh shit. That's what I want. Oh. I love Julio. now you guys can love him too, you know?
It's yeah, awesome. That's true. I'm probably like Julio now.
this is kind of one of the last ones I have for you. Now I was gonna post like tweet this in terms of like to the timeline, just from a discussion of what's worse to experience as a fan. Is it you have a team like the Broncos where you have everything in place except the quarterback, or is it kind of that place where you are looking for the franchise quarterback?
What's an example of that team now? So you either be the Broncos where you're looking, or who? Or, like the Cardinals where you feel pretty good about Kyler, but they're in the middle.
Yes.
I think the answer should be the one with the quarterback. But I do think the league is changing enough. When I do these quarterback rankings, if four of these five rookies hit, or even five hit, which looks possible, it's like we're starting to stack up like a lot of pretty like decent quarterbacks. It's not that hard to find an average quarterback these days.
Ryan and I talked about it last year before last year's draft. Just in terms of
Jameis,
like there's not a whole bunch of quarterback positions that are open. Like, as the league goes on, like, yeah, there's some that still, you know, will be open. Oakland or, you know, Las Vegas, you know, like those. But, like, the league is kind of slowly becoming, like, most teams have a, you know, competent quarterback and can get at least decent competent quarterback play.
Right. The level, like, I mean, look at Jameis. You got Jameis for cheap and you're thinking we're going to be okay. That sort of trend makes me think that you'd almost rather be like Denver. If the point is to just win Super Bowls, that you'd almost rather be the team that's set up. You just can't wait around for long because things just change too fast. Like Teddy, you know, they got to get that quarterback next year. Like there's no more time than that. After that, the timeline is over.
Because I think if you look at Denver right now, the perfect example of what Denver can be in a couple of years is this year's Chicago Bears. Like, That defense, what that at least defense, you know, the defense that carried them deep into the playoffs, and you know, they had the double doink, like that defense was a Super Bowl ready defense to carry them to the Super Bowl. And they didn't have the answer at with Mitchell. He flamed out. And now what, two seasons later, that defense has gotten older, slower. Now that they have the answer now. They have Justin Fields, but now the team that they originally had is not the same.
Yeah, it all depends on how good, you know, how high we talking about the quarterback. If it's like Baker or Kirk Cousins or, you know, kind of in the middle, then then I don't know. Then I'm not worried about it as much. If it's like a legit top, you know, if it's Justin Herbert, you want Justin Herbert, period.
Yeah, period. Yeah. No question.
You're not messing around. Although my boy Teddy is going to light it up. I like this Broncos team.
Greg's swirl tendencies when it comes to quarterbacks again. Just you can't, like you say, like you like excited. You like to watch. You like to be excited. Like I've seen Teddy play, man. Like there's nothing exciting about watching Teddy play, okay. Bro. Like
he first of all, he was exciting as hell in college. I'm not usually a college guy, but my God,
he was.
I was into him in college. He's got the touch. He's got a great pocket feel, you know, like a, you know, destitute man's Brady. He does move around in the pocket, which as a longtime Brady, you know, follower, he's got a little bit of that. He's not as exciting as he probably could have been or looked like he was going to be, but you're right. He never was going to like blow it up. I'll give you that. I mean, he was never going to like fill up highlight reels all the time.
You have a type when it comes to quarterback. There's nothing wrong with that. Just embrace it, bro.
Teddy's fine though, man. Like you give him weapons. You know, I wouldn't call it. He's not on the Dalton line, but he's like right there.
He's below it now. See, that's the thing about this line. Like, it hurt me, but I had to put him like 28th or something. I mean, really, who's starting? Like maybe the rookies, but you know, Tua I guess hasn't shown it. Goff, I think that's close, but Goff has had some, you know, he's had moments too, you know, Hurts,
oh, yeah.
Dalton, you know, Tyrod, like
Hurts, like Hurts had like four starts last season.
Right. There's a handful of guys you'd put below Teddy if I'm trying to win games going into this year, but it's not that many. It's like five.
Damn.
And I love Teddy, you know.
Yeah, no, you love Teddy. That's funny. Oh, well, I don't have no more for you, Greg. I just
you guys can just do your own thing. What would you be doing right now? How's the last week gone for you, Ryan?
Oh, man, it's been fucking crazy, bro, because my wife's grandmother, we had to go get her out of New Orleans because she was staying at a hotel down there. She didn't want to be in the house during the hurricane. She was staying at a hotel on St. Charles. Because her son, you know, like works there, was able to get her a room. But of course, the lights went out, the generator stopped working and stuff. So we went and got her last week, and she's been staying up here in Mobile. So really, I've just been like kind of driving Miss Daisy every day after work, just bringing her to get like fried fish and bringing her to Walmart and Family Dollar and all that shit. But, you know, I mean, that's good. We were able to get them and my parents. They just left Mobile today to go back home because their power just came out. Their house is fine. My sister, she had quite a bit of damage. A lot of people had damage, man. Like, I had a hurricane. I wasn't no joke, man. Like, then just to go on and to see what happened, like, just in Jersey and New York.
All of it, man.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, Jesus, man. So it's crazy, man. Like, New Orleans is crazy right now. It's better. It's at least it wasn't Katrina, though. The levees held up. There's still a lot of suffering, but it's not like 1,900 deaths like Katrina. You know what I'm saying? Right.
But because of that, I think it's like people, you know, everyone's got their own problems and they're not, you know, people aren't thinking about it that much. And it's like, there's still a lot of problems. You know, it's still a bit of, you know, it's like a humanitarian crisis when a city that hot doesn't have any power for a week.
Oh man, it's,
you know what I mean? And the people that are, you know, having to deal with that, that's a crisis. You can say, okay, well, it's not as much, there's the water's not there, then that's beautiful, but man,
right,
people are dying. It's pretty amazing though, they did that the Saints look like they might play week four now. That was a surprise to me. So that's kind of a nice little big, nice item.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's huge that they're, I mean, just the, man, I just want to see them back in the dome with like a crowd there. I guess knock on wood, there'll be a crowd there, but like, I just want to see that again because it's been so long since I've heard that roar from the dome through my TV. You know, it just has a different feel to it when that's happening. You know, especially if Jameis out there balling out or something. I don't know. That'd be fun.
I feel like, you know, speaking of, you know, Greg big time and us, I feel like we made it. Like, do you know that Greg followed us, our Instagram account today, Ryan?
What?
Made it.
Big well, time. That's because I noticed you added me at some point, maybe last week. And I was like, wait, but I didn't, you know, in the story. And I was like, wait, did they call me out or something? And I missed it. You know, I just saw it today. I was like, oh, I wasn't following them. That's why I didn't show up in my little thing.
I posted that to our story, you know, asking for questions, a new ride opening that October. That we didn't get. so someone did like respond to it. And they were like, can you ask him why does he look so much like Matthew Broderick? Have you ever been hurt? Have you gotten that before?
No. I haven't really gotten that. Yeah. I mean, I'm like a short, you know, preppy looking white guy. So that's got a little bit of it. But
that checks out. Yeah.
You know, no.
But no, I don't see it.
I haven't gotten that. I used to, or I still get Adam Brody sometimes. You know, when I show the old pictures, you know, I got a little bit of those curls, you know, but I wish I was Adam Brody, you know. You guys don't even know who Adam Brody is.
I'm thinking, I'm like, who the fuck is Adam Brody?
You know, it's what's his name from the OC who had Summer. Oh. You know, this is white people shit, you know. And usually Adam's all into that, you know. Adam's into the CW dramas, I'm saying, you know.
I 100% see it now. I had to do a little Google search. I see it. Yeah,
a little bit of absolutely. A younger one. I would take that. He had, you know, he had Rachel Bilson on the show and in real life, so that's A1.
It's a little uncanny now that I'm seeing these pictures. All right, I see you. I got you. Anyway, thanks for, I mean, we appreciate you coming on. I know, you know, NFL Network and like, there's just been a lot that's happened over these last, this year. It feels like it's been multiple years, but it's all been, you know, this year and all, you know, even us as people, we're all going through our own personal things. But like you said earlier, the fact that we can get on a podcast, talk football for an hour and just talk about things that we love, you know, watching the game, enjoying it, and, you know, in that period of time, have a piece of solace where we're just focused and happy, you know, talking about a game. That, I mean, that's, you know, that's why I appreciate, I do love football, you know, for that escape where we can have that, you know, that comfort, you know, every week. And it's coming back. So
it's a great game. I'm not trying to fight that anymore. I never really was, but it's a great game. It's a great game to dive into. You're right. I mean, that crowd's going to, coming off a pandemic, and then what happened, like, all the crowds are extra this year. I'm watching, you know, you guys know I'm a tennis fan. I got my Courts of Thunder podcast. The crowd at the U.S. Open has made a bigger impact on this tournament than has ever happened. And I think you've seen it at other sports too. Just there's just the full crowds post pandemic are a little extra, and you can imagine it just of what every different person's gone through over the last year and a half and everything. Like, I can't wait till we're in our studio and to the Chris Wesseling podcast studio. We haven't been all together like in a studio and doing our podcast, you know, for so long. So we're hoping to get there week two and in our new place. And that's going to, like, I'm going to be the equivalent of that Saints crowd all hyped up, you know, for that.
Hell yeah. Right. Yeah, y'all need to make that motherfucker explicit, man. Like, tell NFL, let us cuss. Like, let us cuss on this.
Okay, maybe that episode. I'll throw that out there, and we can just do beeps. At least, you know, they don't seem to mind the beeps.
No, they don't mind the beach, man.
It's funny because now our podcast studio, you know, we used to be on like the third floor in this whole separate area, just all by ourselves. Now it's like right in the middle of the newsroom with like clear glass walls.
Crazy.
And stuff. So we're gonna be like animals in the zoo or something dropping F-bombs in that.
And you guys got a TV show now too, right? Like on Fridays or something?
Yeah, we're doing that. We're taping on Fridays, but it airs Saturday mornings and Saturday nights. There's like a re-air and I think Sunday mornings too, a couple hours. But yeah, DVR that up.
Oh, fucking right. Yeah.
So check out Course of Thunder podcast.
Yeah, I'm always plugging that because that's the one, you know, we need to start. That's a tough sell. There's a couple of friends that are like, you know, I'm sorry, man, I haven't listened to your podcast. It's like, bro, I'm not expecting anyone that I know to be listening to this podcast. Like,
I mean, that's some niche shit.
I know your
it's not even just tennis. It's like women. It's mostly women's. I love the women's tennis. Women's tennis is the best sport in America other than the NFL. So.
Is Miss Rosenthal checking out the Courts of Thunder? I know she listens. Mom,
she's a big tennis fan too. So yeah, she's
love it. We got
more people than I expected. It's going well, so I appreciate it.
Courts of Thunder, RJBP.
Don't even worry about it.
Not RSVP. Not to be confused with RSVP. Like I said last time, Greg was on. You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. Around the NFL podcast, Thursday night, you know, Thursdays is the preview show for every NFL game. Sunday, flagship show. They do the recap of every NFL game that happens Sunday. And that's it, man. As always, we appreciate you coming on. I know, like, you're going to be busy as hell starting tomorrow. You guys are probably going to, you know, do the recording of the recapping the game. You guys are all going to be at Lakeisha's tomorrow night. Enjoy the game and, I mean, we'll check in hopefully maybe midseason and see how the Saints are doing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I still you know, that time we talked about Chris on your pod, that was like a meaningful conversation with me. It's great. It's great to talk. I'll see you in between, and then I'll see Ryan when he's ready to make the apology. I don't know when like the tipping point's going to be. You know, I guess you got to give it like 10 weeks or something, but once we know for sure that Davenport's getting it done, then we can have our special apology.
If he hits 10 sacks at any point this season, that video will be on YouTube and Twitter. Trust me.
Looking like Nader.
What if he's got like 7 sacks but 87 hurries, you know?
Stop, Greg.
I mean, that's some clowny shit right there. Like, and that's what I think he is. I think he's clowny.
That's my other guy. I guess I have a type when it comes to pass rushers too. Greg, I like? The big dudes who just like throw the other dudes away in front of them. I love that shit. That's what he is.
It just only works so many times in 16, 17 games. Right.
I'm no coach, but I just like watching that, you know?
I feel you.
I get it. It's like Gladiator. Like, you're like, oh, like that's like that's why we watch football, right?
That's what I want. What I want. The guy who can just throw the other big guy.
So with that, we're gonna get out of here. So for people who are wondering, like, this is our Green Bay episode. Like, there's not gonna be an in-depth Green Bay Packers preview. Like, you got it. Like, that's it. But I will say that the hashtag Say Sort of podcast will do our biggest podcast that we do during the season that does the biggest numbers, which is the rapid recap episode Sunday night after the
game.
Like, for sure does our biggest numbers by far.
We're gonna be lit.
How rapid are we talking in terms of how long is the show and when is it up?
So the best episode we did last season was the Sunday night football game where the Saints like dismantled the Bucks. Like, like, if you go back and listen to that podcast, I was very buzzed, and it was just a beautiful podcast experience. So they play like 1:25, so we'll probably start recording, I don't know, like maybe before Sunday night football starts, or right, like maybe right before, and That's people. That's people's favorite episode we do.
And when does it get up? I'm talking about, like, I'm going to be leaving the studio in Inglewood. That's where we're going to be on Sundays now at like 9:30.
The gentrified Inglewood.
It'll be up by then. It'll be up by about 11 my time. So yeah, by
9. Like 9.
Our time. That's what I'm saying. I need something to listen to on the way back. You know, that's a 25 minute drive. I need something, you know, that's perfect. And yeah, I hear you. It's like, I'm sure it's gentrified compared to where it was, but it's not all that
Greg said, I'm still locking them doors.
No, I'm just...
That's just like the Bywater in New Orleans, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you better lock them doors, bro. Just, like, don't get it twisted.
I'm just saying, it's not like the West Side. It's not Westwood or something. You know?
No, it is definitely not Westwood. But I say that because I was driving through Inglewood for work, like past like the stadium and past like everything. I was like, holy shit, like, this is Inglewood? I'm like, when did this become Inglewood? Just saying. It's just a little crazy. But with that, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy football this week, guys. Take care of yourself. Take care of your families. Check in on your friends and your families. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.